Welcome to MCBI's 60 Mark, a podcast for curious thinkers.
Welcome everyone, it's Marina from MCBI, and I'd like to welcome Emma Barr down here in the basement, down the bottom of our fantastic alleyway here in Adelaide. Thank you for coming down here today to talk to us on our MCBI podcast series.
No, thank you very much for having me. It's exciting to be here.
Oh, isn't it? It's a new adventure, new adventure. So Emma's been a part of the MCBI family or community or cult, whatever you want to call it, relatively recently, and has come in as one of our facilitators espousing the amazing insights and I guess the stories around neuroplasticity. And that's what we're going to talk about today, neuroplasticity.
Excellent.
Bending the brain.
Beautiful.
So let's start up. Just a bit about your background. I know people are going to Google you and they're going to find those amazing photos of you. Was that at the Brownlow?
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
Best and fairest. Yes, I have done Brownlow once. Incredible experience. Best and fairest, I think those photos particularly were from.
Well, yeah. When you Google it, everyone listening in, just Google Emma Barr, not Barbara Blacksheep, B-A-H-R. So tell us a bit about your background and how did you end up getting involved in wellbeing and neuroplasticity work?
Yeah, well, I've been at the Adelaide Football Club in a wellbeing player development role for the last 7.5 years. Previously worked in vocational rehab and have a really big passion for wellbeing and how we can adapt that to performance in the workplace or, as for me, in the sports industry, making the best out of people to ensure that they can thrive. So real big passion, really enjoy it, and I think neuroplasticity has a really strong point for the corporates, environments, and sport and people in general to ensure that they can keep themselves young, active and flexible.
Now I'm going to respond like a real Port Adelaide. Everyone knows I love Port Adelaide. Everyone in the world, you have to Google it. They said, Mozzie loves Port Adelaide. When you say the Adelaide Football Club, you mean the Crows, don't you?
Yep.
For all the people who aren't in Adelaide.
Yep. The Adelaide Football Club. Crows.
Yeah. I like the way you're saying that. Yeah. That's what I mean. All right. So that's an interesting connection. I mean, sport is, I think you and I have shared lots of sort of conversations about sport. I'm passionate about sport and neuroplasticity. But maybe you, from your perspective, can expand a bit on what is that relationship between performance, sport, and having an understanding of neuroplasticity?
I think our players use it without knowing, particularly in their skill development. So we do a lot of things. Heath Uni heads up our craft development and head of development, and he spends a lot of time working with the boys in building their competencies in a number of different ways. And that doesn't always involve a football in their hand, but maybe tennis balls to work through the different activities so that when they're out in the field that they're not prone to one particular feeling through the football. Working on left and right legs, kicks, to ensure that their conscious is... and the executions of that comes naturally.
So you're saying that like they use all these different sort of alternate approaches to get their brains working, which makes them better performers.
More flexible, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yep, and adapting to different environments helps their decision making from the subconscious or moving the conscious into the subconscious. So, yeah.
And importantly, I'm sure all the listeners would have picked up, that guy's, well, his title is head of craft.
Yeah. Well, head of development.
Oh, so, I love craft.
But works with craft and development of skill sets is what we call it down there. So, yeah.
So, neuroplasticity has been picked up by a lot of sporting people like Jordan and Kobe Bryant we've talked about. But is it something that's becoming more and more of a topic of discussion? Like people who are flexible in their mindset and have a bit of a growth mindset, they're seen as potentially a higher potential person than just those who have the raw talent?
I think it's mastering skills and in the ability for you can teach an old dog new tricks now, whereas previously we thought that it was very much you can't teach people new tricks and that's the way it was. But there's very much the science out there that as we, if we want to, with a growth mindset and we do various activities and tools, that helps us be more flexible and grow and develop and master skills that we wouldn't have previously. For example, I took up wakeboarding recreationally, at probably the age of 29, 30.
Terribly old.
Oh, terribly old.
Be careful where you go with this.
Still not good at it yet, but enjoy being out there and learning those skills with the kids. And we went up on the river the other weekend, and a girlfriend of mine of 32 started kneeboarding for the first time. So it's sort of, you know, getting that concept, watching other people, and then, you know, mastering it to some point yourself.
Because the history of neuroplasticity, I mean, it first came out of brain injuries, didn't it? It was just like looking at how the brain responded to an activity, and it's evolved now into saying, well, let's take the injury out of the equation and see if we can get that same level of improvement and evolution without having a catalyst or, you know, someone thumping their head in a car accident or something.
Yeah, repetition, ensuring that we can create a new pathway through the neurons in the brain and the electricity that that creates. And the more and more we do something, the more and more defined those pathways come, moving from, as I said, the conscious to the subconscious as those pathways become more natural.
You often see neuroplasticity connected to mindfulness as well, so like that purposefulness and that intention, and then using the skills, I guess, of neuroplasticity to be able to expand the brain, but with some type of intent.
Focus. And having a training or whatever you're doing, there's a purpose and a focus and a reason for why you're doing it.
What about yourself? Have you ever had an experience, you know, mastering neuroplasticity, teaching the old dog new tricks, as you say? Apart from waterboarding.
Wakeboarding.
Slightly different. Be careful which one you want. I'd like an afternoon of waterboarding, thank you. No.
Now you put me on the spot here. I like to take the dog for a walk in different directions. Have you ever taken your dog for a walk? Yeah. And you walk out the front gate and the dog will sit there unless you go the way that he wants to, and it has to be the same way every single time.
Yeah.
So I now take the dog in a variety of different ways, and he'll sit there, and sometimes he's grumpy, but as he's become more flexible, he's starting to embrace that idea of walking into different spots. So I actually do it with the dog, silly enough. But the kids as well, like my daughter's quite fixed in her approaches, and as she's developed and grown, and we throw different activities at her and change up her routines and her structures, I've seen how that new pathway is really created and stimulated her and her creativity.
Because one of the cornerstones of neuroplasticity is that you actually need to actively, like the act of changing increases your resiliency. Your adaption techniques is deeply tied to how many opportunities you give yourself to be different. You know, whether it's, you know, brushing your teeth, you know, with a different hand. Don't recommend that one. It's really hard.
Over time, you actually become good at it, right?
Ambidextrous.
So I think it's just about having that mindset that you'll go out and try something. You don't have to be perfect at it yet, but over time, you'll develop those pathways and connections, and things become easier and easier, right? Writing with the left hand rather than the right hand if you're right hand dominant, and just really ensuring yourself to have fun and be an idiot at different tasks and not having to be perfect all the time.
Well, I think you've used a phrase that you just sort of peppered in, and all the aficionados be going, we know what she's saying. But for those who are not aficionados, this concept of not yet, when you attempt something and you might fail in the first two or three goes, to not be put off, but instead just reminding yourself, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think neuroplasticity takes focus, like to train yourself to go off and do the activities that will enhance it for flexibility and creativity and adaption. I think we've seen it in COVID, particularly more than anything these days, that we have to be more adaptive, we have to be more flexible. And who says we can't work from home and still get the same amount of work done, or, you know, completely taking us out of our comfort zones and challenging us in a different area and creating that pathway to ensure that this is my work, but it's also my home, and I can get up and do it and then leave, and creating boundaries in place.
So that neuroplasticity, you know, was in school, and growth mindset first hit schools, went over to the sports. Everyone's like, oh my God, this works. And the last bastions of the corporates now, they're like, oh my God, this really works. All these people are going, yeah, we know. You guys are so smart. Why do you think it's so important? Why are corporates all getting on the bandwagon? I mean, the obvious ones are high performance, but
I think we're changing for, like, the society and our workplaces and the work we're required and how we're doing it is changing rapidly. Technology is changing rapidly. So with neuroplasticity and the ability to be able to incorporate some of those tools, keeps our employees creative, and it keeps them flexible. It keeps them with the ability to problem solve under high pressure. It keeps them wanting to desire to be agile and learn and develop and have that focus to be able to install their confidence that they can and that they're enabled to, and they will.
Because it does have that inherent idea of the lifelong learner in it as well, doesn't it? Like, yeah, just constantly bringing in information, being able to absorb it, manage it.
And our brains adapt to that, and they stay young and active and flexible. And that's what we all want from our own well-being and our own mental health as well.
Someone did ask me that. I said, oh, if you practice neuroplasticity improvement techniques, do you get younger? I went, sure.
Why not? You feel younger, so why not? We all know that when we take on a new task and we can enjoy it and we feel like we're half successful, we feel, you know, youthful. Coming from me.
That's right. That's quoted forever. It's on the internet. It's true. It's fine. But looking at a lot of the work that, you know, MCBI does and yourself doing, around, when we work with corporates and help them infuse and teach their people about these concepts, so what do you reckon might be a better outcome for organisations that are actually teaching neuroplasticity principles to their staff? That's a good question, isn't it? You're going like,
it's a good question. I think it's about having staff that are happy, enjoyable, engaged and wanting to learn, and their performance increases. If you've got happy, healthy and learning, agile, flexible staff members, then they want to come, they want to be involved and they want to engage, and they're also, their performance improves, and as a result, the workload output is of a higher level.
Yeah. It is interesting. A lot of the clients, you may have observed, and we work with big corporates, but it's interesting that the people who do it, who already have an understanding of looking after their staff, and this seems to be supplementary.
Yeah.
Yet I'm sure there's lots of organisations out there that could probably do with a bit of help of improving their staff's resourcefulness and resiliency.
And their own self-care. I think neuroplasticity is really important for your own self-care, and to say that you can take on different things and a different way of looking at life.
Yeah. I think it challenges the concept of change is bad as well, which
absolutely.
I think is good. I think it's a good challenge, a myth to... All right. That's it. That's our time together, talking serious stuff.
Well, that went quick.
I know, but don't worry, you can't leave just yet. We have the famous five questions.
No one told me about these.
That's, I know. The infamous and a secret. All right, really quickly, not allowed to think too much. Don't get that neuroplasticity working. All right, chocolate or strawberry flavoured milk?
Chocolate.
Yeah. Are you a cat or a dog person?
Dog.
Oh, my God, this is like buzzer.
Well, you tell me I'm not allowed to think. I feel like I'm on a time machine.
If you weren't doing this or your work with the Adelaide Crows, what would you be doing? What's your perfect job?
I'm almost in it, but anything to do with helping people performing to their best and thriving in life, I think, is ultimately my goal. It's what I enjoy doing. I enjoy seeing them flourish, even though they're hit with adversity.
Yeah.
I really like seeing other people thrive.
Yeah. Oh, and I agree. I think you're amazing like that. Anyway, all right, Ford or Holden?
Holden. I don't even know why. I'm a Toyota person, actually, but, you know, always loyal. And that's not because of the Adelaide Football Club, but we'll go with it. I just love them.
Toyota.
Toyota. Kluger. Can't get a better car.
Oh, my God. I'm glad. I thought you were going to say Camry. Love a good beige Camry.
I started
Camry.
With a Camry when I was 18. Camry.
All right, favourite holiday destination. Is it a 5-star hotel or a dirty tent in the back of the Sahara Desert?
I love camping. Oh, I love getting back to the country and embracing the wildlife and the natural beauty of Australia, basically. So I'll go with camping.
Okay. All right. That concludes our time together, the magnificent Emma Barr. Thank you so much for coming down to the bottom of Basement Enterprises and giving some insight on yourself, but also on the power of neuroplasticity. I think it's very topical. So thank you.
No, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Let's go drink coffee.
Let's.
Thanks for listening in today. We look forward to you joining us next time.